the VCA Voice podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marie Curl. Our goal with the VCA Voice is to showcase how VCA Animal Hospitals is taking care of the future of veterinary medicine. We'll bring our purpose to life through meaningful conversations about care, our culture, and the communities we serve. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Dr. Christy Bell. Dr. Bell is a Senior Director of Talent Acquisition at VCA Animal Hospitals and is also a leader of our Pride Diversity Resource Group. Hi, Christy, how are you?
Hi, I am excited to be here. I'm a podcast junkie and I love everything about podcasts, so I'm excited today.
Well, excellent. You'll have to give me some good recommendations when we're done with our recording. So first of all, happy Pride. Thank you so much for joining me.
Happy Pride. It's June. Rainbows everywhere.
Rainbows everywhere. Why don't we jump in and get started? And if you could tell me a little bit about your journey in veterinary medicine and when you realized you wanted to become a veterinarian and how did you get there?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I actually had no clue what I wanted to be when I was going through grade school, high school even. I had a high school biology teacher that said, "Aren't you going to be a doctor?" I just figured that's what you would be. And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of interesting." So I went to my first year of undergraduate school and I had a friend who was a year ahead of me in college and she was going to become a pediatrician and it actually is today. Mm-hmm. She recommended that I read this book called Becoming a Doctor. So I did. And it totally grossed me out. I was like, wow, you have to do all of that stuff to people. But the medicine piece was amazing. I love science. I love puzzles. And I was like, well, maybe I should try veterinary medicine. Mm-hmm. So I actually got a job at a local animal hospital the summer after my freshman year of veterinary school. And I was doing kennel work, right? Walking dogs, mm-hmm. scooping poop, feeding them, like doing all of the things that you do as a kennel attendant. And I loved every second of it. And I was kind of hooked since then.
So how did you get from there to what was your progression into vet school?
So I worked there for one summer. The next summer, I actually became what we called a veterinary technician at the time. I was not a credentialed veterinary technician. Mm-hmm. So veterinary assistant at a different hospital. And I just kind of furthered my technical skills. I had some really great mentors in undergrad. I actually went to a few different hospitals, kind of saw how they operated, and really went directly from undergraduate school to veterinary school at University of Georgia. And it was a wonderful ride through vet school.
And then what happened after vet school? How did you get into your current position?
So after veterinary school, I joined a hospital and it was a privately owned small animal practice in the Metro Atlanta area. And about 6 years later, we were acquired by VCA. And about a year after we were acquired, I became the medical director at that hospital. I was in that position for a long time, enjoyed it so much. And then I was looking for something new and different. And this position opened up to be the recruiter for the Southeast area. I didn't really know what that meant. I had no idea what being a recruiter was, but I knew a lot about veterinary medicine by that time. Uh-huh. So I kind of jumped in and wanted to learn some new skills. And that was about 7.5 years ago. So here I am as Senior Director of Talent Acquisition at VCA.
What I want to talk about now is the VCA Pride Diversity Resource Group. And from its beginning, you've been a very strong leader and an advocate for our VCA Pride group. Share your story about why you're so passionate about this work.
When it comes down to it, it is one of my core beliefs that everyone should experience life equally. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't exist, but that is something that is really at the core of who I am. And I think that comes from a few different things. One is I am a member of a family who is very diverse. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of bonus parents. I have a bonus parent who is Black. I have a bonus parent who is Puerto Rican. I have a bonus brother who is Black, and I have a niece who is neurodivergent. And I also live in a community in Metro Atlanta that is extremely diverse, actually one of the most diverse counties in the entire country. Every time I go out in public, I hear a different language, which to me is inspiring. I am a member of the LGBTQIA plus community and have been for a while. And I think it's just really important for everyone to have their voice heard, especially at work. We spend so much time at work, focusing a lot of energy and time and dedication. And it's really important to me for everyone to have as equal footing as possible when they are working.
Oh, I love hearing that part of your story. And you said that you're a part of the LGBTQIA community. Is there anything more that you'd like to share about that part of your life?
Sure. I grew up in the South, so with a heavy dose of football and church, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. And I was a late bloomer when it came to sexuality. So I grew up like a normal kid, right? Like I didn't have a big revelation until I was in my 20s. So it was really a very normal childhood. I am also really lucky to have really understanding family and friends that were incredibly supportive when I did come out in my 20s. It really pains me to think of those who don't get the support. And it was there for me every step of the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. I was a little bit of a late bloomer too, and also grew up in the Deep South, as we talked about previously. So I get that and appreciate that. What's been your experience in our profession with acceptance in veterinary medicine? And are there times as a veterinarian or in vet school that you felt particularly supported?
Veterinary medicine, I think, is so focused on taking care of pets and people, which makes us unique, I think. When you come into an animal hospital, it really just requires that you want to take care of your pet, right? Mm-hmm. So when you come in and you bring that beloved family member with you, we are going to do what we can. So when it comes to acceptance of different types of people in veterinary medicine, either people working in the hospital, clients who are coming in, whoever it is, I think that the foundation is there because our bottom line is that we want to care for pets. The time that I felt most supported as a veterinarian actually was very early on in my career. I had just graduated from vet school and joined this practice, and something was happening at work where I needed to come out to my boss, and I was really nervous about it. He had known me for a long time, but didn't know that aspect of me, and he took it really well, actually. He thought I was probably going to say something else. And what came out was, you know, hey, this is me. And he was very supportive. And I will say my partner from then on out was invited to every single event. We did a lot of social things with the hospital that I worked at. And she was invited every time and included as part of our work team, which was really refreshing.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what role does allyship play in supporting all of our associates in VCA? I know that there's a lot of work remaining to be done. What work is there that we still need help with?
I think it's helpful to just talk about the definition of allyship to start with. And that is using your actions, behaviors, and practices to support, amplify, and advocate with others. So I think it's important to think about that and also to remember that a non-action is also an action. So when you are in the vicinity of someone who's experiencing discrimination or harassment, what have you, and you don't stand up for them, you're deciding to take an action, right? So I think it's important to think about allyship in that way. For a company like VCA, if our aim is to support all associates equally, then allyship is a must. It is just at the core of what we should do for all of our associates. So an ally is to take on the struggle as your own, to transfer the benefits of your privilege to those who lack it, to amplify voices of the oppressed before your own. Acknowledge that even though you feel pain, the conversation is not about you. You stand up even when you feel scared. You own your mistakes and decenter yourself, and you understand that your education is up to you and no one else. So I think that's a really good mindset to be in when you're thinking about how do I support this person? How do I be an ally for either one person or a group of people?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And then what needs to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a really low ethnic diversity in veterinary medicine. About 90% of veterinarians are white, at least in the United States. And we've got some work to do to make that a lower percentage and amplify others, right? Mm-hmm. I think it does start with inspiring the next generation of veterinarians. I think that means creating shadowing experiences, giving them resources, if it's a book, if it's a website, if it's a summer camp for them to go to. Veterinary medicine is a wonderful industry to be in. It's been an amazing career for me. So how do we do that with the next generation?
What positives have arisen from the Pride Diversity Resource Group?
We are still very new. I think that we're still in our infancy when it comes to a diversity resource group. All of them are at VCA, actually. Mm-hmm. They were just started a couple of years ago. And we've got a lot of work to do. Some work that we've already accomplished is the Gender Affirmation Resource Guide. And we have mm-hmm. that for both associates and for managers. Just kind of separate guides for those two different populations, which I think is fantastic. If anybody is looking for support to get that gender affirmation that they're looking for, then we have a resource. So that's really top of mind. We do have an internal communication channel. It's called Pride at VCA Yammer Group. And it's a way for kind of like-minded individuals that are allies or members of the LGBTQIA plus population to connect, which sounds very basic, and it is very basic, but it has been very powerful. Just seeing messages from people that are in different locations across the country, supporting each other, celebrating holidays, and just really giving each other some really good, even educational content. It's been really fun to see the back and forth with that communication channel.
No, I agree as well. I've really enjoyed that and some of the comments and conversations that have come across. Where is the Pride Diversity Resource Group focusing now?
As you can imagine, we've had a lot of planning. I know you've been part of some of that, so thank you. We have been getting ready for June. Pride Month is a very busy time of year for us, and we've been organizing lots of events and things that VCA associates can do to help celebrate Pride. A couple of things that we're doing, we are actually having a Q&A panel for parents of LGBTQIA plus children. Mm-hmm. And we're working on some other items as well. So we've got a full schedule. Something's happening every week in the month of June. So that is a lot of activity that we have been planning, of course. When it comes to what does the future look like for after June, kind of post-Pride, mm-hmm. we typically go into our Pride 365. And that's really what we're trying to tap into. What does it mean to celebrate Pride every month of the year and not just wait until June? I know June is a great month to celebrate, of course, and there are lots of LGBTQIA plus holidays that are in the month of June, but they happen all year, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we go about celebrating our associates that identify as members of the community year round? And the Diversity Resource Group is really built for all of our associates. So really the foundation is how do we support associates? And we don't know how to do that until we actually hear from people who are reaching out to our DRG or who are members of our DRG and see what resources they might need to make themselves feel more comfortable at work.
I'm glad you mentioned Pride 365 because so many events now are kind of sprinkled throughout the year. And I want to make sure that we keep a focus on Pride 365 as well. I think one of the things that's been really impactful for me is seeing our associates that want to celebrate their Pride events in their communities when their communities may not be welcoming. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you live in a community that's incredibly diverse, and I know that some people just don't. And you know, there's lots of information around in different communities, and how can we really help to support everyone out there? And if their community may not necessarily be as welcoming as some other communities.
Certainly. We had a great example of that last year. Mm-hmm. We had some associates reach out from a hospital and they said, hey, we are planning on doing this Pride event. It wasn't during Pride month. It was a different month. But they reached out and said, we are going to participate. Our hospital is going to march in this Pride march. So can you help us with resources? And we did. So we helped I would say a little bit. They did mm-hmm. the vast majority of the planning, of course. But a few days before the event, they reached out again because they were hearing that there might be protesters along the march route and didn't really know how to handle that situation. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get them some resources, give them a pep talk, and we had a successful march. And I love to hear stories like that where people are reaching out because they need something and we're able to deliver on that.
What other diversity resource groups does VCA have?
We have four others in addition to Pride. We have WISE, which is Women Impacting Success for Everyone. So that is a mm-hmm. women's focused diversity resource group. We have our Ambition, which is our Black and African American diversity resource group. We have Latinx, which I think is fairly self-explanatory, Latinx Stronger Together. And then we have ACE, which stands for APEDA Community Empowerment. So that is our Asian Pacific Islander Desi American diversity resource group at VCA. And that's the newest one, actually, that just launched a couple of months ago.
So let's shift just a little bit, because I'd like to spend our remaining time talking about your role in talent acquisition and what that involves. What part of talent acquisition are you involved in specifically now?
So I am privileged to lead a team of six individuals across the country, and we are focused on student talent acquisition. So that means mm-hmm. that we are connecting with veterinary students and sharing resources with them that VCA can help them with during their veterinary school career. And of course, with the hopes of them potentially thinking about joining VCA after graduation.
How many veterinary schools are currently graduating students, and what's new in the veterinary education space?
There are 33 veterinary schools in the U.S., not to mention there are some U.S. students that go overseas mm-hmm. to other schools as well, but 33 in the United States. So many things have changed, Marie, since you and I have been in school. So
lots of things have changed since I've been in school.
Let's talk about things that are maybe the same. So, you know, the learning content is the same, right? There is still anatomy mm-hmm. lab. There is pathology lab. There are all those ology types of classes that we need to take. There are senior clinical rotations, which to me is the absolute best part of veterinary school. It's where you learn and stretch the most. There are clubs and activities and social things to do during vet school. I think that's probably where the similarities end, though. So mm-hmm. If we think about it, when you and I were in veterinary school, students were typically going in state, or occasionally they would go out of state. There are, as you can imagine, some states that don't have a veterinary school because there are only 33. But when we were coming up during vet school, a lot of people in our classes were from our same state. That mm-hmm. is not typically what's happening now. Students are going all over the country to go to vet school. So you have, I think, actually a more diverse population, slightly, across the country when it comes to different students being in different states. Now, their classes are recorded, which is so interesting to me, because they don't always have to actually go to class. Yeah. They can actually watch it at same speed or even 1.5 speed to get all of the content that the professor was lecturing about. I don't know if I would have thrived in that environment if I wasn't required to go to class. So that to me is very different. I definitely learned a lot by going to class, actively taking notes, what have you. And so there's a different kind of study style that they have now. Mm-hmm. Definitely curriculum and schedules of classes. They've made so many improvements over the years. There are a lot of schools that track now, and tracking means that students are focused on small animal, large animal, mixed animal, what have you. That didn't exist for me when I was in veterinary school. We all learned everything, and now they are kind of tracking to their interest.
Yeah, I was also surprised, and I taught in a university setting for many years before joining VCA, and I was also surprised in our conversation with Ashley Lavender, who's just finished her first year at University of Georgia, the online tools that the students are using as well to test and challenge one another and to use as study aids. That was fascinating.
It is fascinating. There's been so many improvements, of course, when it comes to technology that can help with veterinary education. Another thing that I see from school to school as I travel about is the use of more models and technical skills labs, which also, again, for me, did not exist when I was in veterinary school. So working on those IV catheter placement or really models that help you kind of get the basics of even either anatomy or a surgical procedure or what have you. Things of that nature are different as well, thanks to technology.
So vet students are a very busy group as well. What are meaningful ways that we can connect with them and help to support them along their journey?
Yeah, I think about this in three different categories. I think one is supporting them in their career. One is supporting them as an individual. And then one supporting them in their work-life integration, as I like to call it and say it instead of work-life balance. So when we're thinking about supporting them in career, shadowing experiences, mentorship opportunities, things that will help them network and make connections within veterinary medicine, right? When I think of something to help them as an individual, I'm thinking about communication skills or maybe their medical reasoning skills, things like that, I think would be very helpful for students. And then also just something to help them remember to relax and recharge and have fun, which that could be, of course, a myriad of different things.
And then what about supporting new graduates and early career veterinarians within VCA? What kinds of programs do we have for this group?
Yep, I think the foundation of that is our mentorship program at VCA. So we have a mentorship program that is both focused on general practice and emergency medicine. Mentees are assigned a dedicated mentor, and they've got regular check-ins scheduled throughout the program. Mm-hmm. It is a six-month program for both ER and GP mentees, and they have different phases that they move through kind of at their own pace. So it is something that is very customizable to them. So it definitely depends on the individual, what skills they come into VCA with and what they would like to develop as well. We also have, as part of that, some online modules that are given. And the ER mentorship program does have an in-person lab, which is a hands-on two-day experience. Mm-hmm. And I have been honored to actually attend one of those. And it has been so impressive to see just the content that is covered when it comes to doing CPR and TFAS and AFAST ultrasounds. And it's amazing to see what those mentees learn in just those 2 days. The other thing that we have for early career veterinarians is something called our Pause First program. So our Pause First program has four different aspects. One is the mentorship program, right? So everybody is automatically enrolled in the mentorship program. The second stage of Pause First is competitive compensation without any negative accrual. So we want to make sure that people are compensated appropriately, of course. Our third aspect of Pause First is CE support and making sure everybody gets what they need when it comes to continuing education. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that we have for Pause First is the biggest one, in my opinion, which is student loan repayment. Mm-hmm. So we actually offer $1,000 a month in student loan repayment. And we do have something called a student programs bonus. And that is if veterinary students participate in a VCA externship or summer job experience, then they would have some extra compensation as well.
Christy, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We are closing in on the end of your time. So if you'd share with me how you think the future looks for veterinary medicine.
Yeah, what does the future look like? I feel like we are entering a stage of veterinary medicine where we're getting more involved with technology, mm-hmm. And technology to help us out, not only with diagnostic tools. I know we've got some artificial intelligence that are helping us read radiographs, but really tapping into what technology can do for us. If it's communicating with clients, if it is advancing care, I think technology is going to help us get there, certainly. I would ideally love to see that maybe 20 years from now, that we have made at least a dent in that 90% of veterinarians are white, mm-hmm. right? Like we need a more diverse population.
Yeah.
We need other people really interested in veterinary medicine. And it really doesn't take a lot, right? It takes people that are interested in helping people and helping pets and just being really passionate about that.
Excellent. Well, that is an excellent future vision, and I share that with you. And Christy, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Marie. This has been fun.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. Don't forget to leave a review to let us know your thoughts and share the episode with friends. Follow VCA Animal Hospitals on social media at LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more inspiring stories, visit our website at vcavoice.com.